Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the major shit. Let's go hook him up!
By my co-host Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not much. What's happening?
Not too much. We're just short one co-host because Craig unfortunately is not here tonight. And no, there's no Pearl Jam concert. No, there's no Prince concert. Apparently, allergies have taken Craig out, and he says he has no voice and he has to write things down to communicate.
I don't know. Should we start a Kickstarter or something?
Well, not for Craig, but we could start a Kickstarter to raise some money for my suite for Vegas.
Wow.
And if you want to donate, feel free.
No, thank you. I wouldn't be fair to you. You need to learn to make your own way in the world, so, you know.
I think I do a good job making my own way around the world.
How are you going to get through life if you have people paying for stuff for you? Actually, it don't sound too bad, but you know what I mean.
Actually, that sounds like a lot of shit. I wish people would pay shit for me.
I just do like I do. Try to win the lottery every week or something.
Yeah, I would have loved
that. When I was in Louisiana, we did that every week. We got lottery tickets.
Right. I would have liked to have won that $600 million that dude from Florida won last week.
I see, that's just an absurd amount. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he'll probably be broke in like 3 years.
Should be one of those one of those lotteries ruined my life miserable stories or something.
There's a guy from San Antonio who has one of the lotteries ruined his life. He got busted selling drugs. And he was, after he won the lottery, he was selling, instead of just enjoying your money from the lottery, he started selling drugs. And he got busted. I don't know exactly how much it was, but it was a lot, but it's not like it was one of those super jackpots, right? But,
was it like at least a million?
It's enough to where you don't have to track to the, I mean, it's enough to where you could just, you know, buy a shitload of your own personal, but not enough to work. I mean, there's no need to start trafficking, you know what I mean?
Damn.
And this guy was basically trafficking, and, you know, of course, they were able to prove that he used his lottery money to pay for these drugs. And, I mean, I don't remember the whole story. It happened a long time ago, but basically, you know what I mean? You got buy lottery money, you know?
Shit, buy a restaurant or something if you want to make you some money, or, you know.
Right. Well,
buy a nightclub or something like that. Shit.
Buy some strip clubs. That way you can get laid every night with a stripper, you know.
Yeah, or start Riffalicious or something.
You start Riffalicious, right? Yeah, that's good.
That's supposed to be coming back with new episodes, by the way, I heard.
Yeah, I saw that. There's like a couple of girls on my Facebook that are that are part of the show, and yeah, I can't wait to see it. I mean, because I highly enjoyed the first season of Riffalicious.
I never understood that. I mean, I was always amazed how, like, what's his name that did the glow stuff? David McLean, I think was his name. Like, every time he's trying to get something going with women's wrestling, I said, you know, I'd like a good-looking woman as the next person, but, you know, there's a lot, that much money in it, especially in the wrestling business, you know, so.
Well, I don't know if he made money on Glow, but actually, Glow actually did pretty decent in I mean, it wasn't like it was on every market, but it got good ratings. It actually, the reason Glow ended is because Pia Sidora, who's this actress singer, like valet, Vegas, like showgirl kind of type performer, was married to the guy who kind of was like the producer or the money. And anyway, the guy was basically fucking a lot of the girls, and Pia Sidora got pissed off and told him he had to get rid of it or she was gone. So he basically pulled the plug, and that ended Glow. And then McLean, I guess he tried on his own with the PAL.
That PAL for women's wrestling or something.
Yeah, because it was
they had a lingerie battle royal at like that Super Clash 3 in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just remember you could get a beaver shot of the farmer's daughter in that battle royal. It was awesome. It's like the thing that I remember about that whole pay-per-view is, of course, the Kerry Von Erich, Jerry Lawler match, the farmer's daughter's a beaver shot, and that's frankly about it. A skinny cat in the skinny Cactus Jack.
That's right. Cactus Jack in the RP. I read these old observers like every once in a while, like when I'm eating or something. Just give me something to do. And there's other people who send in these letters. That's why Dave didn't cover Glow. Could you imagine?
I would have loved it, dude. Could you imagine Dave covering Glow?
It would have been funny as hell, awesome. But, you know, I can see why he didn't. I mean, it's like, why don't you cover the Cosby Show or something like that while you're at it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it didn't, I mean, it wasn't, they did they do any tours or anything outside of that kind of the TV?
I think they might have done a few shows here or there, but for the most part, it was, you know, just the TV shows. And I love Glow. I mean, well, for one reason, I was a fucking teenager going through puberty. So, yes, of course, I like Glow, but I mean, there was a lot of awesome stuff about it. Those skits were as campy and as stupid as they were. They were as funny as shit.
Yeah, it's a stupid comedy. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, so.
It was like wrestling version of Hee Haw.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And
did you watch that documentary, huh?
Yeah, I watched the documentary. It was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's
the best part, one of the best scenes was like at the end when they brought Mount Fuji in.
Yeah.
And they had her like in the wheelchair stuff, and all those girls are waiting for her and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they're all singing like the theme song. That was actually, I gotta admit, I got a little teary eyed on that one. I mean, because she's a very like sympathetic character. I mean, you know, unfortunately she has some health issues, the heavier set ones. And, I mean, it was really great. I mean, you really, she's such a, she's got so much personality and, you know, you can, even if you don't even know who she was, you just happen to watch this documentary, you'd become a fan of her. And, you know, and you see how bad she's had it the last few years, and then to go and be like the life of the party. And I laughed my ass off when she finally told the director that she had to hop for him.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Like all these years later, you know?
Yep.
And but yeah, it was good. And there were some, like, I mean, there were some really, really good looking women on Glow. I mean, you know, Ivory, before she got, like, the big breast implant, and she was really jacked up.
Ivory,
I mean, not jacked
good.
Up, but she was just, like, muscular as hell. Yeah, she still looks good. And then, like, Hollywood and Little Egypt was fine as hell. And Little Fuji was fine as hell. All the Asian ones were awesome. And Lady Godiva had, like, the coolest costume. And one of my favorite ones was Manushka, the Russian. Yeah, she wore, like, the red and
yeah.
black, so it, like, sort of, like, kind of looked like she was all covered up, but it looked like she was wearing a G-string, basically. And then she had these big, giant titties. And she used to, like, kill these little girls. I mean, she would drop them on their head. And, oh, man, it was Glow was just, man, I wish it would have gone on longer. I really do. I guess we could, do you want to get back into our topic, or do you just want to talk about random shit and we just wait till Craig comes back to finish off on our thing?
Let's just finish the topic. We ain't got much to go, and we're only going to go an hour, so.
Okay. Well, do you have, like,
cool?
the list?
Yeah, I got the list right in front of me. I think we stopped off where Edge beat Rob Van Dam and John Cena in the triple threat match to win the WWE title July 3rd, 2006 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, after Rob Van Dam was busted for marijuana the night before. Always a smart
yeah.
thing. And let me say, we went to this was an awesome match. John Cena defeated Edge to win the title in a TLC match in 25 minutes. That was at the show where Trish retired. You remember that match?
Yeah, that was an awesome match, too. And that was a pretty good pay-per-view in all. But, yeah, that was a good match. Like I say, Edge at this time was just, like, the best. To me, he was just the MVP of the WWE. He was having the best
match. Like,
he was kind of like
what
CM Punk is right now, but even better.
And Trish gave us all a good send-off by showing her butt crack the entire match. So.
Yeah.
And actually,
that match wasn't as good as that one, the TV match that they had, like, a little bit before, where, like, they had that one match where Lita Scorpion. That was awesome.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, we're talking about all the quick title changes. John Cena won the title on September 17th, 2006, and then he lost it October the 2nd, 2007. So that's probably, like, before CM Punk, this is probably, like, the next longest reign since then, huh?
Probably. I mean, he did have it for, like, a long time.
Yeah. And Vince McMahon announced Cena suffered an arm injury and was going to be sidelined 6 months to a year. He was back in 3 months at that Royal Rumble. Do you remember that?
Was it an injury? I thought was it an arm injury or a pec injury?
I thought it was an arm injury because they said it happened. It looked like it happened like he gave like Mr. Anderson a hip toss or something.
Yeah,
I think that's where it went out.
I'm pretty sure like within like the last few weeks, one of the announcers, when referring back to that, said it was a pec injury. But either way, I mean, yeah, he was supposed to be out for a while. And then he made that surprise appearance at the Royal Rumble. And it's just the funniest fucking thing because, you know, he comes out. He was number 30, right? He was the last one?
Yeah.
So his music hits, and they're in Madison Square Garden, and this fucking place goes absolutely fucking crazy cheering for him. And they were going crazy and crazy till we got just about to the ring, and then they're like, they realized, wait a minute, we're supposed to hate John Cena.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird moments with a guy coming back, and then realizing that you hate him.
Yeah.
I think it was probably cool,
yeah,
regardless of how they felt about the guy. It probably was cool in that building, so.
Yeah, I mean, like the Peach Machine was there, and he hates John Cena, and he was cheering like a mark when he came out, and he was like, oh, wait, I hate the dude. And he showed himself to be even a bigger mark because then he went and started booing the dude. But it's just like at that WrestleMania. Like, what did you hear, like, from Miami? It's like, you can't Cena will never be babyface. If he wins, everyone will boo. You know, it's all going to be for The Rock. And then this year you heard the same thing. And what happens? John Cena defeats The Rock. And instead of hearing boos or people upset, everybody went fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, it's weird.
Then he embraced The Rock and they started booing a little bit. But
yeah.
You could probably tell more than I could because you were there, so, you know, the reaction.
Yeah, the boos didn't come until, like, they pretty much hugged. I mean, but all that time before, they weren't really booing. They were pretty much going crazy for them.
I think this was one of the reasons John Cena was one of the guys that he didn't like working with Mr. Anderson when he got hurt in this match with him.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it, like, a couple of guys, like, I think Randy Orton, he did something to Randy Orton, like, dropped him on his shoulder or something, like, right after he came back from breaking his collarbone or something like that.
Yeah. Like, the thing that Anderson would do that would piss everyone off is when they're supposed to lift you up for a move, he'd always kind of fight in dead weight, and he'd cause shit to go wrong. And I think even Shawn Michaels was pissed off.
Shawn Michaels was another one. He'd, like, try vertical suplex, and he's taking him up, and he starts kicking his fucking legs. Like this is supposed to be real. If everybody kicked their legs on every wrestling move, there would be no wrestling moves, you know, executed. It's fake. You know,
yeah.
There's a reason you gotta help a guy when you're, like, when the guy's doing a vertical suplex on you, gotta help him get you up, you know, because it's,
yeah.
In real life, most people might not be able to do that, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it was October the 2nd, 2007, Vince announced John Cena suffered a severe injury, be out 6 months to a year, and he stripped him of the title. And then he awarded it to Randy Orton, who was supposed to be his opponent. And then, let's see, then Triple H came out in an impromptu match and beat him in 11 minutes for the WWE title. This was actually pretty neat, I thought, because they had, like, it hadn't changed in a year, so I didn't mind it, like, flip-flopping like this. And when he won it in the opening match, I could tell he's going to lose it at the end. It's kind of obvious to me. So, and because remember, then Vince said you got to go face Umaga, like, in the middle of the show, in, like, a street fight or something. So he had to defend the title against Umaga and then come back later in the night, and Randy Orton beat him in the last man standing match. So.
Yeah, I kind of remember that one. So basically, it was just a 3-hour title change, a 2.5-hour title change, or title reign?
Yeah, pretty much. He still hasn't beaten Andre when he gave the tag title to Ted DiBiase. Or the world title. Sorry.
Yeah. Looked like he was just kind of burying Randy again, because you remember, like, the first time Randy got the title, it was kind of like Triple H, who kind of, like, brought him back down a peg. And it actually took Randy a while to get back up there.
Yeah, they took it off of him after a month after he, because he was supposed to, I think the whole plan had been to go to that WrestleMania in 2005 with Orton and Triple H, but then Batista got so hot that that they decided to go with Batista instead. So, and let's see, the next title change was Backlash in 2008 in Baltimore, Maryland, April the 27th, and Triple H defeated Randy Orton, John Cena, and JBL in a no DQ, no countout elimination match to win the title in 28 minutes. To see, JBL submitted to the STFU, then Orton pinned Cena with the kick to the head, and then Triple H pinned Orton with the pedigree following a series of reversals. I remember that.
It was okay, but I've never really been all super high when Triple H was a champion, especially going on like this by this time.
I like him better as a heel. I don't think he makes a good baby face a lot.
Yeah. He's too much of an asshole, like, when he's a baby face.
I just thought he was a better heel. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like Sheamus. I mean, they got Sheamus trying to be a baby face, but he's like the biggest cock. You know, cunt, and, you know, he doesn't come off as a baby face. Now, there's nothing about Sheamus to me that's a baby face, but They're going to push him as well.
Yeah. Then they went to the Survivor Series in November 2008, and it was Edge defeated Triple H and Vladimir Kozlov to win the title in a no DQ match at 14 minutes. This was the day it was supposed to be Jeff Hardy in there, and they said he collapsed in a hotel and everybody flipped out. You remember that?
I remember that, but it's like, I know, it's like, what the fuck was Vladimir doing in the match?
This is when they were giving him they were hoping to get something out of it. They were giving him, like, a good push over on SmackDown. So, anyway, Jeff Hardy said he has collapsed in a hotel room, which with all his problems, I could understand why people didn't like that. And they kind of played it up. You didn't know if it was real or not, because they do that stuff on that website where they mix the fake stuff in with the real stuff back then. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to say. It was just a one-on-one with Triple H and Vladimir, and they had a terrible match for about 10 minutes or 11 minutes. And then the Biggie came out and said, he's here. He's finally here. And he's like, okay, Jeff Hardy's coming out. No, but Edge comes out with a beard. He had been gone since Undertaker beat him at that Hell in a Cell at SummerSlam a few months before.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? And put him through the ring.
Yeah.
And so Edge came back, and Jeff Hardy, I think he was going after Edge with a chair, and he hit Triple H, and then Edge pinned Triple H. So that was the deal there.
Yeah, so I was happy because I was a big fan of Edge, so that was awesome.
Let's see. Then the Armageddon 2008, December 14th, Jeff Hardy defeated WWE champion Edge and Triple H to win the title in a no DQ match. A pinning Edge falling with Swanton onto both opponents. Triple H dropped the champion with a pedigree and made the cover. Late in the bout, Vladimir Kozlov interfered, and ECW champion Matt Hardy brawled with him all the way backstage. I remember this because this was kind of a big deal, Jeff Hardy being the champion at that time.
Yeah,
considering where
It was one of those where they gave it to him, like, probably, like, you know, about months later than they should have, because he had really got pretty hot there.
You remember when he was
hot
like that?
He got hot when he was having those matches with Umaga and The Undertaker.
Yeah, he was really hot because I think it was, like, the year before, or that year at the Royal Rumble when he went up against Randy Orton. And he was really hot at that point, and actually probably should have pulled the trigger on him then, but hey, it's a good thing they didn't, because 2 months later he was suspended for 60 days or something for drugs. he got the shot of Randy Orton at the infamous show where Mike Adamley said Jeff Harvey is going for the title.
Too bad it wasn't Jeff Harvey.
That was a hell of a botch right there.
Yeah.
I'll remember that forever.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Royal Rumble 2009, Edge pinned Jeff Hardy to win the title in an ODQ match. After Matt Hardy appeared to counter interference of Vicky Guerrero and then hit Jeff in the back with a steel chair. Matt Hardy get blamed for burning his house down and killing his dog or something?
Yeah, kind of. I think so. I think this is that time. But going back to Edge and Vicky, on those skits that they did when they're like on the swing and the tater tot.
Yeah.
Those are some of like the funniest fucking things ever, dude. that whole shit was awesome.
Let's see. Triple H, then we go to No Way Out 2009, February the 15th. Triple H defeated The Undertaker, Jeff Hardy, The Big Show, Vladimir Kozlov, and Edge to win the title in the Elimination Chamber. 36 minutes. This was at the start of the show, I remember, because Edge was like the first one pinned, and then he came back in the second chamber and won the world title later in the night. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty badass. And didn't, like, Kozlov, like, almost kill himself getting, like, out of the ring or something?
I don't remember. I remember somebody falling out of the ring, leaning up against the door and falling out in the Elimination Chamber. swear I remember that. Hmm.
That would make problems. I just remember him being kind of being a big klutz in that in that match.
Hmm. I always was amazed. These Chambers, they'd throw a guy like Vladimir in there. Like, every so often, they'll have one of these big matches, and they'll throw Kali in there for just no reason whatsoever. I'm always amazed. Why,
yeah.
Like, they just have
yeah.
to throw him in there in something big or something every once in a while. Never understood.
You remember the one Elimination Chamber pay-per-view where they had three Elimination Chambers?
I don't think they had one.
They had an ECW Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that was at that ECW pay-per-view.
Oh.
That pay-per-view that Paul Heyman left the next day and wasn't seen
yeah.
for like 6 years. That was a terrible show.
Yeah.
Let's see. Providence, Rhode Island, Backlash 2009 at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. There's a name for you. April the 26th. Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase Jr., and Cody Rhodes beat Triple H, Batista, and Shane McMahon at 23:49 when Orton pinned Triple H with the RKO and kicked to the head after Triple H pulled a steel chair away from Batista on the floor. So he won the title in a six-man. I always hate when people win titles in tag matches. Unless it's a tag title. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Edge just a champion?
No, Edge lost it in that first Elimination Chamber match, and then he came back later in the night to win the SmackDown title.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, I lost it for a second.
Yeah, so Triple H won this one in a six-man tag, and then they went to Extreme Rules, June 7th, 2009. And Batista pinned Randy Orton in a steel cage match to win the title with the sit-down powerbomb. And so, yeah. And then on
Batista's sit-down powerbomb was like one of the clunkiest finishing maneuvers I've ever seen somebody have.
It always looked like he's going to break his ankle.
It looked like he was going to break the guy's neck, break his ankles, fuck up his hip. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's just the most awkward-looking thing ever. I mean, every once in a while, he'd pull it off and it looked good, but for the most part, it did not look good at all.
Yeah. Batista said the win was dedicated to the injured Ric Flair, and then 2 days later, on June the 9th, 2009, Batista was stripped of the title due to an injury. He's
yeah.
been stripped of that title, I don't know, several, at least three times I can remember.
Yeah.
He was always getting hurt or something back then. He's stripped of the title.
You know. Weren't all his injuries like muscle tears, too?
Yeah.
Wink,
like pectoral or tricep or something like that.
Right. It's just that he had so much steroids in his veins that it was popping through the skin and fucking up his fucking muscles.
Yeah, I still pissed off that his last run was his best, but it didn't last long enough for me when he was a heel. He was so awesome.
Yeah. I loved when he was in that fucking wheelchair.
Yeah, he was in a wheelchair. I remember he's coming out with all these gaudy looking clothes, like a pink polo shirt or something with the collar flipped up. It's looking like a
dick. I know you don't watch basketball, but like to me, I think Batista started like this kind of a trend because now, like in the playoffs, when they have their press conferences, you see most of these guys wearing some of the most fucking just—I can't even describe some of the shit they're wearing, just other than just some fucked up shit. And it's like a trend on like trying to wear the most ugliest, douchiest shirt you can wear, you know?
Well, shit. When I was in school in the '80s, about everybody. Every guy in high school looked like that. I mean, you know, like with your polo shirt on and your collar flipped up. I don't know whoever decided that was a good look. I look back on that, and that shit looks horrible. I ain't going to say I never did it, but now in 2013, it's like whoever thought tight rolls on your pants looked good. I look at that today, it's like, I look like a fucking moron. Jesus.
I never did that, thankfully. But did you ever have a members-only jacket?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, wow. I think I did. But... That's so cooler than the shit Batista was wearing.
Then they went to, the next week on Raw, it was Randy Orton defeated Triple H in the Big Show and John Cena, up in a show with the RKO to win the vacant title. And let's see. Then we go to Breaking Point 2009, September the 14th. John Cena defeated Randy Orton to win the title in an I Quit match when he had him in the... He had him in the STFU, and he was handcuffed, and he used a handcuff to you know, complete the move. I thought it was pretty awesome. Did you see this match?
Wasn't this also the one where, like, Randy's, like, beating the crap out of Cena, and Cena just, he refuses to say I quit, and then as soon as Cena got the move on, Randy quit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was actually a cool match.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone bitches at, you know, it's Randy against Cena all the time, but honestly, they had great chemistry. They had great matches.
Yeah, they did. They had a lot of good matches. I can understand why people, I mean, we saw it so many times that, but let's see. Then go to Hell in a Cell, October 4, 2009. Randy Orton pinned John Cena to win the title by kicking Cena in the head moments after trapping his arm in the ropes and choking him out. I remember that.
Yeah. It was, like I said, they had good matches. It was pretty cool. Just that.
I think
they got to the point where they were the only
main
eventers at the time.
You know, people didn't like Cena or Randy Orton was considered boring at that time. So I think that's why those matches get that reaction.
Well, at the time, Randy, like... You know, Randy kind of, his style is he's slow and he's deliberate, but at that time, he was even slower and more deliberate, and, you know, he didn't really get going, so he picked it up just a little bit, but,
I just thought he was being a heel, being a dick, just putting people in chin locks for some. Let's see, John Cena defeated Randy Orton in a 60-minute no DQ Ironman match to win the title. Stipulation stated that it would be the two men's last title match and that if Cena lost, he would leave Raw. Well, they pretty much killed that leaving stipulation with John Cena, so nobody can believe that anymore.
There was that one in house shows where he was Juan Cena.
That's right. After didn't Wade Barrett fire him or something, or he got fired because he counted down Wade Barrett in a title match or something. I think that's what it was. Let's see. Ball number one, Cena defeated Orton with the STFU. In 3:55, Orton pinned Cena in 9 minutes with the RKO. And they stopped the clock at 12:56 because Cena got a cut on his head, so they had to clean him up. I always hate when they do that.
I hate it when they did it. They started doing that shit, man. That was so... I remember they were having a TLC pay-per-view here in San Antonio with Chris Jericho, or it might have been Chris, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Chris and Shawn, but it was Jericho, and one of them gets busted open, and it just like stops a match for like 7 or 8 minutes, it seemed like. It just like kills the whole thing.
It's like if this were real. You know, don't put people in TLC matches if you don't want them to get busted open.
Right.
No, it happens.
Right? It should happen sometimes. And it's like, you know, bringing the doctor and stop the bleeding. And it's like it's... And, you know, at least they could have hired, like, Stitch or some of the other guys from UFC that are actually pretty good at it and can stop the blood in 30 seconds. These idiots that the WWE had, and fucking took 5 minutes for them to fucking... to do it, and then still end up bleeding a little bit during the match. It just was like, fuck, man.
I think Brock's been the main one has gotten like busted open a couple of times since he's been back.
Yeah.
I remember I thought it was awesome when him and Triple H and he went to the post, and I remember there's something so much better about the blood running down the back of his head than down his face. It just looked cooler to me. I don't know why, but fall number three, both men were pinned after Orton hit an RKO as Cena dropped him with FU, thus giving both men a fall. That makes no sense. Following the fall, trainers tended to Cena in the corner. I guess his cut opened back up. Cena pinned Orton with an FU off the top in 1937, and then Ted DiBiase and Cody ran out and double-teamed Cena during the rest period. DiBiase dropping Cena with a Dream Street. Fall number five, Orton pinned Cena at 2056. Immediately after the fall, Kofi Kingston ran out and ran DiBiase back.
Is the championship changing after every fall?
No, it's just whoever comes out in the end.
Why don't we just go ahead and get to the end? Because they've already had like 10 falls. It's only 20 minutes in.
Okay, real quick. Kofi Kingston ran out and ran DiBiase and Rhodes off. And we'll just get to the end. Cena defeated Orton via submission with the STFU at 60 minutes and 19 seconds in this one-hour Iron Man match. And after Orton was caught in the hole for nearly a minute. Okay. That's the Were you here for this TLC 2009? Did you go to the show in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think that was the one I was just talking about.
Sheamus defeated WWE Champion John Cena to win title in a tables match. Hey, winning a title and a guy losing a belt in a tables match. So stupid.
Yeah. I just remember, they pushed Sheamus and they gave him the title. And then supposedly what happens is he starts walking around or acting like he's a main eventer because he's the champion and the main eventer. And they're like, they didn't like how he had a big head. So the next thing you know, Sheamus is jobbing for months.
Yeah, King Sheamus, you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Sheamus is all right. He has good matches. He can. Sometimes he's good, but Sheamus is like one of the most. Like, there's nothing for me. There's almost nothing likable about Sheamus other than when he says,
"Fella."
Yeah, fella. I mean, he's very. To me, there's nothing. I just don't really like Sheamus.
I think he's a good worker. I enjoy some of his stuff. I was going to say, I hate when guys win. I guess I'm old school because I want to see a guy get pinned or submit to lose the world title. That's just me. I don't know. It's just, okay. And I think he fell through the table on accident, didn't he?
It was some stupid bullshit.
You remember what last year was like Big Show defended against the IC title against Cody Rhodes and he stepped on a table and it broke so that he lost the title?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Elimination Chamber, February 21st, 2010, John Cena beat Randy Orton, Sheamus, Kofi Kingston, Ted DiBiase, and Triple H in Elimination Chamber match. So.
Wait, who won?
John Cena. Beat Randy Orton,
okay.
Sheamus, Kofi Kingston, Ted DiBiase, and Triple H. Batista pinned, this is on the same show. Batista pinned world champion John Cena to win the title in an impromptu match. This was like the week after, or a while after Batista came in and jumped Bret Hart or something when he was in the ring with Vince. And this was like Batista's reward for helping him out or something. He got the match, just like at the drop of a hat, just got the match, and then he won it in 33 seconds with a sit-down powerbomb. March 28, 2010, Cena defeated Batista in 13 minutes via submission with the STFU to win the title back. Let's see, Fatal 4-Way 2010, Sheamus defeated John Cena, Edge, and Randy Orton to win the title by pinning Cena when the Nexus attacked the champion in the ring. So that was during that whole Nexus.
Remember when the Nexus punked out Sheamus in the back?
Oh, yeah, and he ran like a girl. That was horrible.
Yeah.
Whoever scripted that should have been fired.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was funny.
Let's see, the Night of Champions 2010, Randy Orton beat Sheamus, John Cena, Chris Jericho, Edge, and Wade Barrett in an elimination match to win the title. We go to Orlando, Florida, to the day after Survivor Series when The Miz defeated Randy Orton to win the title in 244 when he cashed in the Money in the Bank. And I still remember that little girl's fight.
Yeah, The Miz girl. I mean, that's the greatest fucking, you know, catching a fan in the audience thing ever.
Whoever caught her on the camera should be like getting a bonus that week.
Yeah, that was just the greatest picture of her just looking just so pissed off and disgusted. And oh, man, it was awesome.
She looked like somebody just farted or something. I don't know.
Right.
See, John Cena defeated world champion Mike Mizan, or The Miz and John Morrison steel cage match in 19 minutes, 54 seconds to win the title. Let's see. Okay, we get the Money in the Bank 2011, and CM Punk pinned world champion WWE champion John Cena to win the title at 33:44. This was one of the best title matches I've seen in years, I believe. This match was awesome.
Yeah, well, especially considering the majority of the last few matches that we talked about have all been some kind of elimination three way, cluster, you know.
This match, Dave had the 5 stars, didn't he?
I'm not too sure, but maybe. Yeah.
I think he did. Yeah, this match was awesome because it was like a couple weeks after the big promo. And really, it was awesome because everybody was thinking Cena was going to win. And I know in the back of my mind, I thought they're making such a big deal about this. Punk has got to win this title, you know. If not, then the whole thing is just stupid.
And the crowd was awesome. It was just one of those magic crowds, you know.
Yeah, actually, I remember this being like one of the better shows in WWE ever had, one of the best pay-per-views. Just
it was pretty
good. Crowd. I mean, yep. Let's see. July the 18th, and that was also named Match of the Year in the Observer. So, the title was declared vacant by Vince McMahon, and an 8-man tournament was held prior to the finals. Oh, yeah, this is when they were, like, he had left, so they're going to do a new champion, like, the next day. So, and Rey Mysterio defeated U.S. champion Dolph Ziggler and R-Truth, and then The Miz beat Alex Riley and Kofi Kingston, and then the next week, Rey Mysterio pinned The Miz 619 to win the title. Then they did a title match later with John Cena beating him. I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
The same night. Plus, he's supposed to be a babyface and your friend. Why would you want to, you know, decide something seems like John Cena would do after a guy's already had to wrestle or something like that? It was silly.
It's just Vince, every time Rey's a champion, he regrets it, and that's the fucking making a point that Rey's not a real world champion, you know?
It's like they couldn't even go to, like, to the next week and have him lose the belt. They had to, like, do it the same night to just, like, totally make him look like a geek.
Yeah.
It was kind of stupid. And that was the show where CM Punk came back to Cult of Personality.
Yeah.
After he left the company for 2 weeks. I thought they brought him back too early.
Yeah, they did.
Let's see, CM Punk pinned world champion John. This is when they were doing like the unification match and at SummerSlam, August 14th, 2011. And CM Punk pinned John Cena to win the title at 24 minutes with the go to sleep. And then Punk is celebrating, and who should enter the ring but Kevin Nash. He drops him with a power bomb, and then Alberto Del Rio comes in and wins the title in 13 seconds. I thought that was stupid.
Yeah. He never did get his heat back on Kevin Nash, did he?
No, because Kevin Nash had to sit out for a while because of some kind of heart. He's taking some kind of medication for his heart or something. So, anyway, John Cena defeated Alberto Del Rio at Night of Champions the next month, September 18th, 2011, with the SCFU. I don't remember much about that, I don't guess. Hell in a Cell, Alberto Del Rio defeated CM Punk and John Cena in the Hell in a Cell. This was when, remember when Triple H fired The Miz and R-Truth and they interfered in this match?
Oh, yeah,
they
just, like, showed up.
This was actually pretty awesome at the time because they got a lot of heat doing this. And they had taken out Cena, and then I think Alberto like hit Punk with a pipe or something, and he pinned him to win the title. So,
yeah.
So he won the title, but I don't even hardly remember Alberto's first two reigns. They were so like nothing happening. They were so fast.
Yeah.
See a Survivor Series, Madison Square Garden, November 20th. CM Punk defeated Alberto Del Rio. Oh yeah, this was Madison Square Garden, and Punk brought out Howard Finkel as his ring announcer at the beginning of the match.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And,
you ever see the video, the video of some couple were getting married and they hired Fink to do like the wedding intros and all the people came out to like
the wrestler's theme songs?
Yeah.
I think like an Asian girl comes out to like the bridesmaid comes out to like Orient Express or something like that. Let's see. Then we go from November the 20th, 2011, to January 27th, 2013, which seems like a lifetime as far as holding the title goes. And The Rock pinned CM Punk with the People's Elbow to win the title in 26 minutes. Punk initially won the match in 21 minutes. The lights went out, and the Shield had came out and destroyed The Rock and powerbombed him through the table. And Vince McMahon was going to hand the title over to The Rock because he said that if they interfered in Punk's match, and they'd be stripped of the belt. The Rock said he'd go back in the ring and beat him, so he went right back in the ring and he had a spine buster and the People's Elbow, and he won the match. So that's how that went.
That was pretty good.
Then April 7th, 2013, WrestleMania 29, John Cena beat The Rock.
I think I was
there.
Almost positive I was there.
Yeah. Well, it was only a couple months ago, I hope you remember. to win the title with the FU in 24 minutes. So. That's
yeah,
where
it was
now.
A good match. It started off kind of slow, and it was already the one thing about WrestleMania is that it's kind of cool that it's 4 hours, but, you know, and also 4 hours is also, like, a lot longer, you know what I mean? And
it seemed like less than the year before, because the year before was the first ever match, and they had, like, all the pomp and circumstance with the live music performances right before their entrances and stuff like that. So.
But the match. It started off slow, but it just built and built and built. And I love how my favorite spot of the whole match is when Cena was being a fucking dick and bit the People's Elbow and then, like, stopped short right before the Rock Bottom and then gave him the You Can't See Me. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that was the best spot of the match, I thought.
Yeah.
It would have been even better if he could have just given him a middle finger, but can't do that no more. So.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, I can't believe we're finished. I only took 4 shows.
Mm-hmm. Took a month out of our life to do that.
Well, at least next week we finally have a guest, and no, it wasn't Craig. Craig's taking a vacation from trying to book people, I guess. So next week we will have the return of Lance Storm, so once again we can have a better show than he does with Brian Alvarez every week. So, yeah, that's the biggest show next week. And maybe Craig will be back. Maybe he'll have a voice or not. he was telling me, he's like, I could maybe call in and if people can hear me breathe. And I was like, well, I'm sure Max Canary would be fine with that. And then he responded. So he responded on the Facebook chat with the word douche. Isn't that a cuss word? Isn't that technically, didn't Craig just cuss at me?
I don't know if douche is actually a cuss word. I can say it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can say anything. I think you can pretty much say anything on TV these days, so I don't know. At least the shows I watch.
And then Craig, you know, Craig's all, I guess he's sad because he don't have a voice, and he's trying, he's so sorry for himself, and he's trying to make this whole incident from last night, now he's trying to make it all about him because apparently Brian forgot to plug his t-shirts or something. So Craig's upset now.
Oh, well. He'll get over it. Everything will be fine.
Did you hear the Brian and Vinny show from last night?
Nuh-uh.
Oh, my God. I should have told you to listen to it. I hit buried for like 15 minutes.
Really? For what?
Because I... Okay, well, we got the Vegas trip coming up in 6 weeks, and the deadline, or the... I don't know if it's the final deadline, but one of the deadlines for, like, the big dinner banquet that we have, we rent out a room at a hotel and have a private buffet, and everything is kind of coming up. So I've been sending Brian the info, like, okay, last week I sent it to him one day, and I just said, I asked him very nicely in the email. I even said, please. I'm like, please, you know, post this on the update. Talk about it on the show, maybe the 10-minute update, just get the word out. Because there are people who don't go on the board. They just go check out the front page. There are some people who only listen to Brian and Vinny. There are some people who listen to Brian and Dave. You know, there's just not everyone's doing every single thing. So that first week, he only put it on the front page, which was cool. But like I say, it reaches more people when they do it on audio. So I didn't really bitch or complain too much. But then the next week, I sent him the same thing, kind of the same thing. I asked him nicely, said please twice, and he didn't post it on anything, right? He didn't talk about it on the update. He didn't put it in the update. He didn't talk about it on other shows. And then I was kind of like a little annoyed, and I kind of cut a promo on him on the thread in the thing. I don't even know if he saw that. So then yesterday, I'm like, you know what? He gets annoyed when I send him stuff because he thinks that I'm telling him what to do. And I'm not. I'm just asking him what to do. Yeah, I'm just asking him to please do this. But it's like, I have sent some emails in the past that have pissed him off before. So I guess he just totally assumes when he sees an email from me that it's me being an asshole, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I text Rodney. Hey, Rodney, can I send you the Vegas info and you just forward it to Brian and maybe he'll put it on, you know? And then Rodney takes me back. Rodney don't want to get in the middle of this stuff. But Rodney takes me back because I guess he texted Brian that I was asking this or whatever. So he takes me back. He goes, Brian said to send it to him and text him tonight to remind him. So I sent it to him. I didn't hardly say anything. I just put the info and then jokingly playing around at the end of the thing, I said that if Brian doesn't promote the Vegas trip this year, there'll be a new event, and that's me kicking his ass. So he got he got pissed off about that too. So he's just going on, and he's like, we gotta have a new system. Ed just drives me crazy, and maybe Ed should like send the stuff to Rodney, and then Rodney can send it to me. And I'm like, I fucking tried that. And but you know it didn't work. So and then like so in the thread, I'm yelling at him and talking shit to him in his email. So I basically posted in the thread what I said, which was except for the thing about kicking his ass at the end of the thing as a joke, but everything else. Never am I bitching, never am I yelling. I'm saying, please There's one where I said please, please twice, and, you know, it's just like, and then even Vinny kind of took my side. I mean, he still kind of said I need to grow up a little bit, but Vinny was like, told Brian that he needs to nut up and you know, I mean, basically took my side on the thing, saying that it's Brian just being, just his ego of him going crazy because he thinks I'm telling him what to do and stuff. So anyway, he ended up promoting the whole thing last night on the show, but yeah, he cut about a 15-minute promo on me the whole time. It was actually pretty funny.
I haven't listened to Brian and Vinny in I don't know how long.
Well, you should listen to your highly enjoy the ones from last night. And I also won the contest.
What was it? Some kind of caption contest or something? Or?
Yeah, it was a caption contest. And then I thought you had to put some work into it. I thought you had to get the picture and, like, Photoshop your caption into the picture, which I had someone do for me. But, you know, I actually, you know, fucking put, you know, made a badass picture, but other people were just sending in the caption without the picture. So, yeah, they had, like, a prize for the best one and a prize for the worst one, and I won the prize for the worst one, which is a WWE collector's bear. You know how they used to have the bears?
Uh-huh.
The teddy bears? Well, it's an Al Snow teddy bear holding a little teddy bear head.
Oh, God.
So Vinny has to send that to me. So I got surprised.
If I would enter a contest like that, I'd win that. And be just a big joke.
Yeah, Brian kind of made a comment about that, like, that's only appropriate since he said that Al Snow was on the show and cut a promo on Katrina. But yeah, I guess you could say technically I lost, but I got a prize. I consider myself like Owen Hart. I'm a winner. So yeah, the Brian Vinny show was very very fun. It was very fun listening to last night. I was listening to it, doing my paper out, just laughing my ass off of just Brian just whining and just being so upset. But I will say this, Brian, and I won't say how or why, I'll just say Brian has made amends, and I'm going to give him a break and not give him too much shit until he pisses me off again. But hopefully it won't be anytime soon. But
okay.
So. And we did have a jump in the number of people who have paid for dinner, so I'm confident we will hit our goal by the end of the thing. So that should be cool. And I guess you said we only had an hour to do tonight, so let me throw out the plugs here real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Ed in San Antonio or Edward Laredo. And I guess go ahead and plug whatever you got.
I'm going to plug youtube.com/Couture. I got a bunch of bunch of videos up there. If you go to the Memphis TV show section, I just put up there one of the old Memphis TV shows from 1986, and it's the one where it's the famous one where Jeff Jarrett is the referee and gets beat up by Buddy Landell and Bill Dundee. And I don't know, have you ever heard of the show? Do you hear about that angle?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, it's up there, and it's just. Then his dad comes in, and they beat up his dad, and then his grandfather comes in, and then it leads to Jerry Lawler coming back. It's really good professional wrestling if you want to watch some really well-booked stuff and just see a young Jeff Jarrett who just out of high school being a referee and getting his ass whipped. So.
Well, that's cool. Check that out if you want. But if you want to see something really cool on Facebook, you need to see what I saw a week ago, and that is a fucking YouTube clip from Florida. And I know you're thinking right away, you're thinking David Von Erich, right? Well, it wasn't David Von Erich. Yeah. Well, there's, and speaking of, there's like a couple of videos of like of David just in Florida, which I need to go back and watch all of it. I just saw a little bit. But the thing that I saw was not David, but Kerry Von Erich being interviewed on Florida Championship Wrestling. And Kerry Von Erich, of all people, cutting a heel promo.
Really?
And if you thought he was bad cutting babyface promos, you have to see this promo because it's so bad, it's the greatest promo ever. And then he wrestled Sweet Brown Sugar as a heel in Florida, and it's just the most amazing, amazing thing I ever seen.
I came across earlier, I was on YouTube, and I was looking up, and apparently this is a video of Kevin Von Erich's first match without any wrestling boots and his bare feet.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, I can still remember him wearing boots. And then he switched to the bare feet, and he's got to be the only person of not like fucking Samoan or Asian descent that ever wrestled barefoot.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could understand. Okay, Samoan, you know, they play them up as being savages and stuff like that. So obviously, it makes sense that they wouldn't have no boots because they're out there in their bare feet. I don't know. I never understood the barefoot thing when who wants to go out there and wrestle on bare feet? I don't know.
Well, apparently he just didn't wear shoes after that because, I mean, like, I've seen Jack Victory interview where he's talking about just Kevin walking down the airport barefoot.
I bet he couldn't go to McDonald's. Well, actually, he probably could in Dallas, but because it's supposed to be no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yeah, but doesn't it have to be all both of them have to get service and to get away with one?
Well, no, I think if you just walk in without your shoes on, they can refuse serving. I don't know, but there's something weird about being in a restaurant or like a fast food place, somebody just walking around bare feet like you're at their house or something like that.
Yeah. Remember the good old days where you could actually walk around barefoot and you could drink water from your when your water hose is outside in the front yard and not worry about dying, you know, and you could eat, you know, you made your food with fucking Crisco that you scooped out of the fucking thing like it was ice cream. And
I still do all that shit.
Yeah, you know, the good old days before fucking everything killed your ass.
Anyway, I need to go.
Okay. Well, everybody come back next week, and like I say, we will have Lance Storm, and maybe Craig will join us, or maybe not. Who knows with Craig? And, yeah, so everybody come back next week, and we will see everyone then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the
tonight.